Divorce has affected a lot. Oh, not for everybody, but for quite a few people. Maybe you yourself have been through a divorce, or if you have not, good for you, but you likely know people who have, even people close to you, people you care about deeply. Well, in this episode of Relationship Radio, we're going to be talking about how divorce affects various things. Welcome to Relationship Radio. This is our season 5. I'm Dr. Joe Beam. I'm joined by Kimberly Holmes, our CEO, soon to be Dr. Holmes, finishing up her PhD now. And so, Kimberly, when we first started talking about beliefs and values, how does divorce affect beliefs and values? Well, beliefs are those things that we hold to be true. Values are how we expect people to live based on what we believe to be true. Therefore, if a person's original belief system is that it doesn't matter if you stay married or not, divorce probably doesn't affect your beliefs and values. But if your original belief and value system said that marriage is holy, sacred, sacrosanct, something that you're supposed to do, and if you leave it, you have failed to live up to what you're going to do. If that happens, then it would seem to me that based on why you are leaving that marriage, you may have to change your beliefs and therefore your values to leave it, or may not. Does that make sense?
Yes, I think it does make sense. But I would also say that whether or not you believe that marriage should be a lifelong commitment or whatever, that divorce can affect your beliefs in other people. So many times I've seen when people divorce and they say, see, either I knew that I wasn't good enough, or I knew all men were narcissists, or I knew this, that, or the other. And so that's not a belief necessarily about divorce or marriage, but it is confirming or altering beliefs about relationships in general that can be affected as well.
Absolutely. And so if my spouse has been continually unfaithful to me till I finally get to the point where I'm saying I can't live like that, I may actually divorce him or her without altering my belief and value system, which is that about marriage is to be this faithful relationship. On the other hand, if my belief system has been marriage is to be that unique relationship that's not to be affected by relationships with other people, and I wind up leaving my spouse because I want to go be with another person, then in the process of doing that, I have to change my beliefs and values. Correct?
Yes, to an extent, yes, in order to not feel the shame or the guilt associated with breaking the commitment that you said that you had made when you got married. But I do have a question for you here as you're talking about this, because especially for people of certain religious backgrounds, they may have a very strong belief that if their spouse is in an affair, that it is their out. They get to divorce, mm-hmm. and maybe there is no guilt associated with that because mm-hmm. religiously it's approved and accepted. Mm-hmm. So we, of course, hold the stance that a marriage can be saved even if an affair has happened or is currently happening.
That's correct.
How do you rectify that if someone has a belief that they can do it and they should do it because of an affair?
Well, I think there's a difference between believing that you can and that you should. Mm. There are some people who actually believe that. If your spouse is unfaithful, then you should divorce. And if they don't divorce, then they wind up living in contradiction to their beliefs and values. On the other hand, there are people who are saying, well, it is a reason you may, but you don't have to. It's not required. And in that case, the belief and value system doesn't have to change. And so you look at this and go, okay, but if my belief and value system changes, either because I'm the one that wants out of the marriage or I'm the one being abandoned by the other person, if your beliefs and values change, you become a different person. That's why, one of the reasons why I should say, that the divorce rate, the first marriage is roughly 50%. There are people who try to say that's not true, but the statistics are still pretty accurate. The likelihood of a second marriage ending in divorce is 67%. And the likelihood of a third marriage ending in divorce is 75%. Mm-hmm. I would think that part of the reason for that is if you change the belief and value system saying, okay, I have changed my beliefs to make it okay if I leave a partner, a spouse, because I just don't want to be there with them, or I think there's something else more attractive, then having changed that changes you into a different person who will wind up living a different lifestyle.
Right. Absolutely.
So what do we say that we hope can help people about that?
Yes. Well, for the person who's wanting to save the marriage, then our encouragement is don't change your beliefs during this time. Stay focused and committed to the vows that you made and work towards them. Now, a divorce still may happen, mm-hmm. but if you were not the one to make that choice, and I guess, you know, that at some point you have to make the choice to sign, but that comes much later. But if you did everything you could to save the marriage, then you've held fast to your beliefs. Mm-hmm. Now to the person who's wanting out of the marriage, that's going to be where things get really rocky. And this is where we see all of the time, the people who end up, I was doing a podcast interview just 2 days ago, and the guy is remarried. He's in his second marriage, but he was talking about his first marriage. And he said, he actually broke down in tears and said, never let my current wife hear this. But he said it anyway. Like, I don't know if she's going to find it or not.
Everybody listens to your podcast.
Everyone listens. He said, I regret not being able to make my first marriage work.
I've heard that so many times.
So many times, because ultimately you changed after that. And he did. I mean, he opened up about how he ended up being an addict and alcoholic and all of these things. Mm-hmm. So yes, it changes you.
Mm-hmm. Once you cross a boundary that has been important to you, other boundaries start falling. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if a divorce occurs, how does it affect a family? Either whether you're the one that wants the divorce or the one sending for the marriage, you actually did your master's thesis on this, did you not?
Specifically in children. So what mm-hmm. aspect of this do you want to talk about?
Oh, whatever you think would be the most important for people to hear. I mean, you're the one who did the research on this.
So let's talk about the kids because they are neutral ground.
Okay.
How does divorce affect kids? We have several other podcast episodes where we've gone way more into depth about this. I'm sure we'll link to those in the show notes and the like. But as an overarching statement, the biggest way that divorce affects children is because it leads to fatherlessness. Mm. And here's what I mean when I say that. A year after a divorce happens, 25% of the families who've experienced divorce, they no longer have a present father who is actively involved with the children. And oh man, it's, I think five or 10 years after the divorce has happened, that goes up to at least 50%, if not 75% of those kids who no longer have a relationship with their dad. And that is huge. Again, the guy that I was talking to on that podcast, this blew my mind. He said that where he grew up, which was a lower income area, he did not know another person who had a dad. He did not have a dad, and he had never met someone who had a dad.
And how does that affect a kid?
Oh, you don't have a person to look to teach you how to live. It affects boys in the way of how to become a man, how to treat other women, how to, you know, uphold the family and provide. But for girls, that affects them because men are the ones, their dads are the ones who are supposed to help them see their self-worth, that they should expect respect and how that should look as they are looking for people to marry. And so we see that with the lack of a father in a home, that girls are more likely to be sexually promiscuous in their teenage years. Boys are more likely to end up in juvenile delinquency, to be angry and aggressive. I mean, we see this play out. We see for both genders that it's going to have a negative impact on school scores. The list goes on. And none of these are groundbreaking revelations. I mean, all of us know this in common sense, but what is astounding is how much it is downplayed as to the effects of divorce on kids and how they will be okay. They'll figure out how to be okay. They won't know how to be okay if they don't have two parents who are teaching them and loving them and showing them what resiliency looks like. And so even when divorce happens, that's why we say it is so important for both parents to be actively involved in the children's life and for parents to never play against each other or withhold access from the other parent with the children involved, because the kids have to have that.
Right. Parental alienation is just bad all over.
Absolutely.
So divorce still affects the children, even if both parents are still involved in their lives, but not like it affects children if one of them is no longer involved in their lives.
Yes, but specifically the best situation for a children, other than parents together, the best situation for a child is parents who are divorced but co-parenting and have low conflict. So those parents are not fighting anymore. They get along well. They're able to do certain family functions together. I've heard from adult children who, whether their parents divorced when they were younger or around 18 to 20 years old, one of their biggest things is, I don't want them to, I dread my wedding day. I dread my kids' birthdays or graduation because my my parents being in the same room together is the most stressful thing to me because they're still fighting. Mm. And so this is continuing to eat in to the children's, I mean, lifelong dream of family.
Okay. So what hope can we give the single mom mm-hmm. who's out there with children and hubby is no longer, daddy's no longer in the picture dealing with the kids? A lady told me that yesterday. My husband has left us and has had no contact with our children in the last 7 months. So what hope can we give that single mom? Because we just painted a pretty tough picture.
A pretty tough picture.
So is there hope for her, or does that just mean their kids are doomed?
No, there is hope. You can only control what you can control. And so it is important to say it to the single mom or the single dad who is currently actively trying to keep the other parent out of the children's lives. Don't do that.
Right.
But to the one where you're saying, I would love for them to be involved, then realize you can't control their actions, but you also don't have to be their PR person. So be there for your children. Don't paint a negative picture of your spouse, but also don't try and paint an overly positive picture of they love you, but they're just not here. You don't know. Mm-hmm. Simply say, I am here for you. Let's talk about it. How do you feel? What can I do for you? Don't shut the door if they want to try and communicate to their other parent, but you can only focus on being there for them and giving them the emotional fulfillment they need right now.
And if you are that single parent, mom or dad, I would strongly encourage you to get involved with other couples whose children are about the same age as yours. I mean, you won't be doing everything the same way they will, and you won't be involved in every party that they're in, that kind of thing. But having a relationship with them so that your children can see parental interaction between a loving dad and a loving mom, and also be able to be with children like that. So your children are not doomed, but you already know. It's a tough road to hoe. It's a hard thing to do. Don't let somebody talk you into giving up on your marriage. You know how much you love, and you know your spouse. And even though he or she is doing something now that you hate their doing, you know that inside that good person is still there. Save your marriage. We've been doing this for 30 years. We'd love to help you save your marriage. We have a tremendous success rate. Go to marriagehelper.com/workshop. Please. Let us help. Kimberly, in addition to family, how does divorce affect a person's friends?
This is that age-old scenario you hear about. You have to pick sides. I don't know that someone has to pick, but typically people do pick sides because there's hurt, there's bias, there's all of those things, and people are going to gravitate one way or another. Now, Rob and I, unfortunately, in the military, I believe the divorce rate is much higher in the military. And so we have had a lot of couple friends who have ended up divorcing. And I've been able to stay friends with the wife. He's been able to stay friends with the husband. But it is not like it used to be, right? It can't be. And so it's even one of those things where I don't want to mention certain things that I know about the other. And it just becomes muddy. So how does it affect friends? They're going to feel awkward. They're going to feel like they have to choose, and it's going to change the friendship. And unfortunately, some of those friends may just buy what you or your spouse says hook, line, and sinker.
About the other spouse.
About the other, whether it's true or not, which can breed a whole nother set of messes. But yes, it affects your social life for sure.
And whether you believe it or not, your friends sometimes can actually work against you. Because of the fact that they love you, they care about you, and because of that, and because of what you've said about your spouse, because you tend not to talk about what you did that was not great. You tend to talk about what your spouse did that was not great. And sometimes your friends can wind up giving you terrible, terrible advice. For example, Kimberly, and if this sounds prejudicial, can I say that word? Apparently not. If this sounds like I'm prejudiced, you correct me on it. But one of the things that I always see as being a major difficulty is if a woman is leaving her husband, wants out of the marriage, and all of a sudden all of her friends are other divorced women. Because they begin to feed that you should be divorced, you shouldn't be married, all men are bad, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, am I being sexist when I say that? If so, tell me.
I think it applies the other way as well. I don't know that we hear about it as much, but I do believe there's definitely times when men, once they've decided to no longer stay committed in their marriage, start surrounding themselves with other guys who are going to live the kind of life that that man is seeking for.
Excellent point. So forgive me for the sexism. Kimberly's right about that. And so finally, how does divorce affect future relationships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we need to discuss this from the two different angles. So there's the angle of that spouse who tried to save the marriage. Mm-hmm. And so, like we said earlier, if you have fought hard and you've done the work, then we believe that you're set up for a lot of success in a future relationship mm-hmm. because you're bringing the commitment of trying to make a marriage work mm-hmm. into that relationship. Now, for the person who wanted out, mm-hmm. they are likely going to have, if they continue down the road of, I'm going to continue to do what makes me happy, I'm chasing after a feeling, I don't want to feel guilty about what I've done, then they are likely to have a very rocky road ahead of them in relationships because there's a lack of commitment, a lack of working to do the right things to make that relationship work. Hopefully there will be a turnaround point.
Hopefully.
And many times we've seen people in their second marriages come to our workshop because of that. I mm-hmm. didn't make the first one work, but this time I want to do something different. And we love right. that. That's great.
We want to help them save that marriage. But you're absolutely right. They're chasing something. They don't even really know exactly what it is. And they're not going to find it. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. When they finally come to the realization that, look, it's not like you see on TV. It's not like you read in romance novels. That relationships do have their fun and wonderful and fulfilling aspects, but also require some work. Mm-hmm. So I want to say one more time the first thing you said. People who do the right things trying to save the marriage, if, God forbid, that marriage still falls apart, like attracts like. And these people become stronger. They become better. They become a more wholesome, if you let me use that word, human being than they were before, a better version of themselves, and like attracts like. And so if you're fighting for your marriage and it doesn't work, the very fact that you do the things you do to fight for your marriage can actually help your future relationships. If you're the one abandoning a marriage because you're seeking something else out there, you're probably not going to find what you're looking for. And at some point, you'll have to face the reality of that. So Kimberly, how would you wrap up this session of our Relationship Radio?
Well, not knowing exactly what state people are listening, not state as in geographically, but the marriage state that they're listening to this in, I hope everyone hears that even though we've talked about a very depressing subject, that there is hope. So mm-hmm. many people probably listened to this from a stance of, I don't want to get this divorce. What is going to happen? Well, we don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. But here's what we do know. When you do the right things, you're setting yourself up for the best chance of success in hopefully saving this marriage, but in your future with all of the rest of your relationships, including those with your children, no matter what happens.
And we want to help. We'll do everything we can to help you save this marriage. And if, God forbid, this one doesn't make it, that can help you then in a new relationship down the line. Now, we're not in the new relationship business. We're actually wanting to help you save your marriage. And Kimberly, what can we refer them to say, okay, how can we help them right now? What can we do at this moment?
The best thing that we have is our 3-day turnaround workshop for marriages, which has been around for over 24 years as of 2023. It started in 1999 and has had thousands of people go through it with over a 70% success rate in situations like we have been talking about mm-hmm. on this podcast, headed for divorce. And so the best way that you can start, if you want more information about that workshop, is to go to marriagehelper.com/workshop. Now, if you're saying, I think that sounds great, but I don't know that I'm ready to investigate this workshop yet. We have a free mini course for you on how to get your spouse back. And you can find that by going to marriagehelper.com/free, F-R-E-E, because everyone loves something free.
That's a favorite
word. I know I do.
I do as well. Thank you for being with us on this episode of Relationship Radio. We have several more to come, and we'll see you on the next one.